I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us. In store, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands death to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevail. We stand here in victory. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. We welcome all the visitors here today. For those of you who are into the news, interesting stuff is happening in Israel. Things are heating up. The Bible teaches us when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Interesting. And when we go across the border, we see the turmoil. Unbelievable turmoil. When we look at what's happening in our government, turmoil, confusion. People have no idea what's going on. They're overcome with confusion and depression. I have heard that alcohol sales went up mightily in the last couple of months, and depression pills, drugs, just went through the roof. So somebody was really making a lot of money. How many of you made masks and sold them? Well, you better start, because it seems like they want us to wear masks. I think that's where I say sorry. Sorry. There's another interesting thing in California. They have outlawed going to church again. And John MacArthur, anybody who knows that guy, I listen to him, he says, we will not stop going to church. And 3,000 of his members came, and he said, for the same some reason, all the motorcycle accidents and all the sicknesses where people died, most of it was coronavirus. Interesting how they manipulate the numbers, but that's going to be cleared up. On November the 3rd, we're going to find out what this coronavirus really is. So hang in there. Maybe the rapture will be in between this time. We don't know. The Lord says nobody knows the day or the hour. He may come at any moment. The question is, are we ready? What has happened to your hearts in the last 4 months or 3 months? Were you overcome with confusion and anxiety? In John chapter 16 in verse 33, I want to give you this scripture before I get into the message. It tells us, put it up there. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. You might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But I love this one. Be of good cheer. Be cheerful. I have overcome the world. Are you in Christ Jesus? Then there is no reason for any of us to be confused. There's no reason for any of us to be depressed, because in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we could be with the Lord in glory. But for those of you who don't know Christ, it's a different story. It's going to get much worse. As we get closer to the end, the birth pangs are going to become more severe, more painful. And this is just the beginning of pain births. I believe 9/11 was the first one. Now we're seeing another one. We're getting out of it slowly, but Satan doesn't want to let go yet. But he'll have to let go. He knows his time is short. He's going to be defeated in the sweet by and by, and then we'll be rid of the guy. And then we can rejoice in what Jesus did for us for the rest of eternity. Anybody ready for the rest of eternity? Are you joyful in your heart? Do you know that you know that you belong to God? If you don't, you need to straighten that one out. Because if you don't know that you belong to God, how can you be cheerful? The Bible says, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, and be joyful. Joyful. How can you be joyful if you don't know that you belong to God? So today I'll teach on an interesting subject, but before we get into it, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. You will open people's hearts today over the internet, those who are listening all over, they're watching all over the world, Lord. You will bless, you will bring revelation, you will open people's hearts to the truth of the signs of the times. I thank you, O God, for your blessings. You will anoint this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God is an awesome God, and anybody who is a believer and has a relationship with him will begin to notice, as we get closer to the end, as the troubles become more severe around us, as the economy tightens up, as the governments become more and more confused, this God rises in your heart. You begin to understand how sweet he is. You begin to understand the grace of God more, because you start looking into it. Instead of looking up who your favorite hockey team is, you start looking into the Word of God. It's nice that we have a relief from this sports world, isn't it? Everybody talking about sports. I'm not a spoil sport. I don't mind sports as long as I don't have to play it professionally. And at my age, I don't even want to play it as it is. So God is leading us into something. He wants us to have this peace, peace of heart. The grace of God wants you to surrender to Him. The Bible teaches us the Lord is willing that none perish. But not all men are going to be saved. The choice is up to each and every one of us. If you want to go to heaven out of a heart that desperately wants to go to heaven, I can assure you, you will go. God will open your eyes how to get there. God will open your eyes how to receive. God will open your intelligence how to study. So don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, that includes women, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to this. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. I grew up in a religious organization that taught, and most religions teach that soberly and righteously and godly, you need to live this life. Keep your eyes cast down. Don't look to the left or your right. Keep yourself from evil and all of that stuff. Yeah, that's okay. If you want to spend your time thinking of all the problems that arise, it says to be godly. How is one godly? By reading the Bible, by going to church. Yes, that's part of it. Being godly is to know Christ and to be born again. How are you righteous? You become righteous when it's placed upon you by the grace of God through the power of the sacrifice of Jesus, the blood sacrifice, and soberly. We should believe that. In my life, I have room for a lot of laughs. I have room for a lot of this and that. But there's one place where I am completely sober. I completely mean what I say. There is only one way to enter into the kingdom of God, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus. And that alone it is. Thank you for the hand clap, but there's more. There's no room for religion. If you're going to have Jesus plus something, the blood plus something, remember the gate is very narrow. You will not fit in if you have something besides the blood. You need the blood, and that is it. That is the only thing that is sufficient for your salvation. If you add anything onto it, even water baptism, if you add water baptism to your salvation, meaning water, you got to be baptized to be saved. If you add that to it, you already will not fit into the door because you don't see the sacrifice in what it is. It's the blood sacrifice that makes us ready for the kingdom of heaven. I've listened to different religions and different preachers over the years. And let me tell you, if they would read this instruction book in a real way, they wouldn't add all those add-ons. Because the Bible teaches us they bring more confusion. So, do you know that you belong to God? If you are going to trust in the blood of Calvary alone, then the revelation will hit you and you will begin to understand by that and only that you will enter into the kingdom. In Titus chapter 2 in verse 14, who give himself for us, that he might redeem us, not we ourselves, from all iniquity, purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Who does the purifying? The blood of Christ. Jesus does. A peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. I've tried this throughout the years. You know the scripture that says when you go to Rome, be as the Roman. When you go to some other place, be as that guy. You try to blend in. I've tried it a few times. And guess what? They recognize the spirit that is in you and they do not want you around them. I know that for a fact. I remember years ago, I tried to join my old buddies in a party they were having. I was there for about 15, 20 minutes. And then I decided that's not the place for me. I don't think I'm appreciated. So I walked out the door and stood right there and listened. And this one of them said, it's about high time he left. I give him 15 minutes of my time, and that was too long. And that were old buddies of mine. What did they see? What had changed in me? My physical appearance was still the same. I was still the same nice-looking guy. What had changed? Something in my heart had changed, and it was shining out. I didn't notice it that much, but they noticed it. Hallelujah. We are a peculiar people, purified unto good works, zealous of good works. It should come from the inside out. We should not have a law, do this, do that. It should be a law in ourselves. We have been redeemed from what? We have been redeemed from the family of Satan and have been brought into the kingdom of God through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. It's according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. So that's what makes you a Christian. You don't become better and better until you hit a sweet spot and then finally you're a Christian. No, you become a Christian by God making you one. It's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you become his workmanship. He starts working in you. I was teaching on assurance of salvation once. Today, I was talking to this person. And then the lady said to me, then I can do whatever I want. And I was kind of taken aback. I can do whatever I want. Today I'd have a good answer for her. Only if you love the Lord Jesus Christ can you do whatever you want. That'll finish it, eh? Those who don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us what? Let him be accursed. So you can do whatever you want after you become born again. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, see what you're going to do. You're going to start talking about him. You're going to start preaching his salvation. You are going to try to please him. Why? Because you love him. Isn't that nice? Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. Isn't that a fact? Serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. That's another one. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You were changed. God did a change in you. Your DNA has changed. Your whole outlook on life has changed. Anyways, that's what happened to me when I became a Christian. And to me, it happened overnight. One day I was a party animal. The next day I was trying to escape those parties. Why? Because I was a changed person. I didn't even notice that I was saved. I didn't understand it. It was about 2 months later, I read in scripture that I was saved. Hallelujah. What a joy. What a peace, knowing that you're going to heaven. This is the greatest joy that a person can have. Regardless what situation you're in, you could be on your deathbed with cancer eating up halfway. You could be anywhere in the world. But if you know that you know that you're going to heaven, you got peace in your heart and you're cheerful. Hallelujah. Because you know the next minute can be eternal bliss and joy. And hallelujah, I have known brothers and sisters who've gone to be with the Lord with a smile on their face. That's awesome to watch. So we were saved by regeneration, not by the good works we did, by regeneration, God changing us from the inside out. And what brought that about? Just the simple accepting the grace of God. Just giving him your right hand of fellowship. Just turning to him and him alone for your salvation. Never mind all the do's and don'ts and goodies that you do. I heard this one lady once say, I feel so holy in this dress I'm wearing. And I was thinking, you smell to high heaven, never mind holy. She was depending on her dress to enter into the portals of glory of God. I once told somebody, I was arguing with him about the religion I left. I said, listen, I was at my mother's funeral, and her clothes went into the ground with her. They didn't go with her. Hallelujah. She went into a different dimension. And the Bible teaches naked we are come into this world and naked we go out. So don't think your clothes are going to be of any significance when you meet this God. I'm talking to people over the internet who are depending on stuff like that, on reaching heaven. What an incredible deception. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So you need to have patience with those people. Rebuke, exhort, these two words almost seem an oxymoron, rebuke and exhort, but they're in one. You exhort a person, you talk to him about Jesus. You don't try to threaten him in any way. I can tell you this, Jesus loves you, but there's also a penalty for not turning to him, and it's called the eternal lake of fire. I sought the Lord because I felt the flames of hell licking at my boots. I knew where I was going. They had taught me, if you just do this, if you do that, you go to hell. Oh, I was taught on hell from the time I was 1 year old. And by the time I was 18 years old, I was already used to the flames. Let me tell you, I knew where I was going. My heart had already determined I had no chance because I tried once in a while to live a good life, but I wasn't fooled. I knew God demanded perfection. How do you become perfect in the eyes of God? It's the blood of Christ that makes you perfect. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? Without perfection, you will not see God. You have to become perfect in the eyes of God. And when the blood of Jesus washes you and cleanses you, you're clean and holy and pure in the eyes of God. And we need to preach this. We need to reprove and rebuke and exhort with patience, of course. You don't get mad sometimes. When I watch street preachers, everybody else gets mad except the street preacher. I don't know how those guys do it. They stand in the face of ridicule and preach the love of Christ. This is awesome. This is interesting. So God wants us to do that. Preach the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Interesting how the homosexual community has made its inroad into the churches everywhere. They don't endure sound doctrine anymore. God loves everybody. Everybody will go to heaven regardless who you are. He died for everyone. What a confusion, what a deception. No, homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. It's no worse sin than any other sin, but if they say they have no sin, that's where their sin is. They should do like me. They say I was born that way. I was born that way also. I was everything these people were, but I became born again and became a new creation, hallelujah. Now those things are gone. The old Dave died. I died at the cross of Calvary and I rose a new person in Christ Jesus. Am I perfect in the flesh? Those of you around me, no, that is definitely a fact you're not. But Jesus sees me as perfect, holy and pure, and God the Father is very pleased with me. And that goes for you too. It's a study to show yourself that you're approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, hallelujah. It will bring forth fruit if you study. They will not endure sound doctrine. It is terrible how things are gonna go. I got something to tell those of you who are on the internet who's listening. We are entering into a time when the churches will all mesh together in one big church called a whore church, a church that will leave Christ out of it. They will worship some other deity. They will worship love, togetherness. They will worship anything else except Jesus. And that church is coming. It's prophesied. And God will deal harshly with it. And the Bible teaches us, if you're in a church that does not preach Jesus, come out from amongst them. Touch not the unclean thing. For you don't want their destruction to come upon you. God is serious with this. We are fast running out of time. Jesus is about to come back. And if you're not settled in your heart that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and Him only, you may miss the boat. And the boat is coming. The sails are up. It's coming fast. Hallelujah. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. I love this. The time of my departure is at hand. The time of my departure is at hand. He must have thought, come on, boys, come do it. You remember the Apostle Paul, he was into the third heaven. He got already a taste of heaven. He saw heaven. He already knew what his home looked like. And there he was, coming to his time. And the history teaches us that they chopped off his head. That guy must have been higher than a kite when he saw that man with a sword standing over him, ready to kill him. He knew in the next second he was going to be home for the rest of eternity. He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He finished his work. Hallelujah. How many of us Christians here don't even have a work when it comes to Christianity? We just allow time to go by with no big deal, nonchalant about the whole thing. Jesus is going to come back anyway, and whoever is going to get saved is going to get saved. No, God give us a man, command, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He says, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now listen to this. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I'm anxiously waiting for Jesus to come back. I love his appearing. I know for a fact there's a crown of righteousness for me because I anticipate Jesus coming back any time, any moment he could appear. The Bible teaches us we should look for that glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. There's many who preach this. We need to look for the Antichrist. No, no, no. I look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Never mind the Antichrist. I'm not going to be here when he's going to be here on this earth. I'm going to be watching from the portals of glory. And it says, all that love is appearing. So the question is, do you love the idea that Jesus could come today? Or are you anxious? Maybe I'm not quite ready. You know, I don't blame you if you are anxious. Maybe I'm not quite ready. You can settle that in your heart today by giving your life and heart to him. He will in no wise cast you out. The Bible teaches us, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Give him your life. Give him your heart. Accept him as your Savior. You can do it in your own home by yourself, or you can ask somebody to pray with you. But do it today. Tomorrow can be too late. And it says, those that are waiting for his appearing, to them will he give a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul knew that he was saved. He knew that he was going to be in heaven. We should know also. The Bible teaches us, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you know that you know that you're going to heaven? If not, here's what you do. You grab the hem of the garment of God and you don't let go till you know that you're his. When I turned to Jesus, he opened my eyes to that fact, and my life was changed from that time on. I was 27 years of age, and let me tell you, it changed my life drastically. I can't believe when I look back the things that happened throughout the 30, 40 years of my life since then. And it's been a sweet ride, hallelujah. Was it always pleasurable? Not really. There were tough times. But let me tell you, I was riding this life with somebody that I really began to love. And his name is Jesus, hallelujah. If you turn to him, if you have a relationship with him, you will learn to love him, and you will then anticipate his appearing. I kid you not. How do I know? Because that's what's in my heart. I am one that shouts, come quickly, even today, Lord Jesus. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, you search me. You know my way. Even when I fail you, I know you love me. Your holy presence surrounds I the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You go before me. You shield my way. Your hand upholds me. For me, there's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way when you said that it is done. And when the earth fades, falls from my eyes, and you stand before me, I know I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?